Here's what's coming up on today's show.
One of the phrases in finance is bulls can make money, bears can make money, and pigs get slaughtered.
I love that.
So if you think the market's going to go up, you can make some money. If you think the market's going to go down, you can make some money. But if you get piggish or you get greedy, that's when you get slaughtered.
Welcome to the Income for Life show. If you're looking for some common sense retirement planning ideas and want to hear how we make the complex financial world simple, then listen up so you can learn how you can stay retired. The Income for Life show is powered by Folds of Honor, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to providing educational scholarships to the families of America's fallen and disabled service members. Now, here are your hosts, Matt Nelson and Nick Schilling.
Welcome to the Income for Life show, powered by our friends at Folds of Honor with Matt and Nick, as we have our typical daily discussion about a financial planning and topic out there that we feel is pressing out there. We hope that you enjoy what you're going to have today. And today's topic, Nick, is an incredible opportunity to visit a little bit about learning through uncommon sense. That is going to be our topic for today, Nick. But before we jump into that, let's visit a little bit about how you've been and how things have been going in your world. It is hot outside.
Things are good. Things are heating up here in Kansas. It's getting there. We're 4th of July is coming really, really close, and it's been fun.
That is right around the corner. I forgot that is right there.
It's amazing how quickly this spring has gone, and spring jumped into summer here in Kansas really, really quickly, and it doesn't look like the heat's going to go away, but nothing we can complain about.
That's okay. We will take a little bit of the heat. I know we're going to have to get used to it here in the Midwest. It's nothing unusual for what we have. And as we get into our show today, Nick, we're gonna spend a little bit of time, like we stated just a moment ago, talking about learning through uncommon sense and what a lot of people are thinking as they are trying to have their goals and their aspirations when it comes to financial planning. Because as we always talk on our show here on the Income for Life show, is the three C's of retirement that will help our clients stay retired. Yep. And anybody that is listening to our show or listening for the first time today on any one of our podcast outlets, we are of the view, I guess we could say, of we want everybody to have the ability to stay retired. Exactly. So whenever people are in that retirement planning mode, we always talk about those three C's of retirement: the checkbook, the calendar, and the clock. We got to make sure that guaranteed income plan is set up to be able to do all the things that you want to do. But what a lot of people are running into out there is uncommon sense, as we like to talk about it, because everybody feels like that they have a pretty good grasp on what they want to do. Correct. When it comes to their retirement planning, but how they get there sometimes is uncommon or an uncommon thought process.
There's a lot of phrases, especially in the financial services, or axioms that people know, and we're going to go through a few of them that they make sense when people say it, but for some reason, they're not as easy to follow. Even though we understand it, it does make sense. It kind of hits at our core of, yes, that's exactly what we want to do. But for some reason, many of these things we're not able to execute on. So why aren't we? What's kind of holding us back? And then what can we learn from that to maybe make better decisions, follow these idioms and axioms a little bit better going forward? And then who can we talk about to actually help us execute them? So I like this list that we put together, Matt. I think our listeners will get a lot out of this, because every one of them will understand. They've heard every one of these phrases that we've picked, but maybe not understand what's holding us back.
Absolutely. So again, we're going to go through those uncommon sense and learn a little bit from them. We also have a really neat article that we're going to be discussing from Axios that talks about the great resignation wave coming for companies. And right now, there's so many people that have maybe got used to this pandemic thing, or maybe they got used to working from home or whatever it might be, that are now thinking, well, maybe I just ought to continue doing this. Maybe I should quit that job and start doing that thing a little bit more. So we got some really neat stats from Axios that talk about the great resignation wave that is coming with companies. And then we're going to wrap up today's show like we always do with our IFL mailbag. And we got a great question that came in from Mike out of Cleveland that, Nick, I know that whenever we saw this question, it just makes a lot of sense with not only with Mike, of course, but Mike's question just radiates through the country like so many people do. So the question from Mike in Cleveland, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you submitting that. And it's a good one. So, Nick, let's go ahead and jump into our topic of the day, which is learning through uncommon sense. Now, at first glance, each of these statements seem like a basic common sense that everyone agrees with. But when we look a little bit deeper into it and look at the way people actually behave with their money, it seems that common sense is actually a bit uncommon. So that's what we're going to dive into today. So the first of these topics and learning through uncommon sense is a concept called buy low and sell high. Now, as you said a little bit ago, Nick, every one of these people have heard of, right? Every Correct. Single person that we talk to and everybody listening on our Income for Life show has heard these sort of phrases. So the first one is buy low and sell high. You won't find a single person who disagrees with the theory behind this investing concept, but many people behave differently when it comes to practice. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
You know, it's one of those things where everybody does understand it. Not only has everybody heard it, they understand the actual foundation of it. We want to buy an asset as cheap as possible and sell it for as most expensive as we possibly can to have the largest margin between the difference.
Biggest return you can get.
Of when we bought it and when we sold it. So all of that makes sense. What holds us back a lot of times is information and emotion. Information being not everybody has all the information available to them of when they bought it, what the value of that was at the time and where it's going. And we don't always know when the top is.
So that's the key, right?
So we don't know what low means, and we don't know what the top is or when high is. Could it keep going? Could Amazon stock keep going up, or Apple stock, or whatever it is on individual things? Or is the market in general, let alone an individual company or position, we've been at all-time highs here for going on 6 months.
The Dow Jones is 35,000.
Correct.
You know, the S&P is whatever it is.
So nobody really understands what the top is. Is it high? Yes, it's high. Is it too high? Do I need to sell? There's many times you could be doing that. So we can kind of get locked into an emotional aspect to one specific stock or position, one company, but also an emotional aspect to, I don't really have all the information. I don't know if this is an all-time high. I don't want to be knee-jerk, and I don't want to miss out. I don't want the fear of missing out of if it keeps going up. So all of this information, all of these decisions can cause my emotions to kind of frazzle, and I can get locked in a paralysis of analysis type deal and just turn my head, put my head in the sand and say, I don't even want to think about it.
Don't
I'm just going to let it ride.
Yep. And you got people pulling from both sides of that as well.
Correct.
You got some people that are saying, oh, keep riding. Yep. Look what it's doing. Then you got other people that are like, are you out of your mind? All that money's at risk. Why would you want to do that? And when it comes to retirement planning,
yes,
where you are 55, 60, 65 years of age, that's where that decision gets more and more aggressive.
Correct. And not only when it comes to an overall retirement planning, the ability to hold on, to keep riding it out, the volatility becomes less because time's not on your side. So that's where we got to start to tranche up or segment up some buckets of money and start to figure out what you need to have to live your lifestyle, what you want to have at risk that can ride some ups and downs and volatility of the market, and start to segment these things into different buckets so that no matter what's happening in the marketplace, you're not having to make the decision day in and day out, look at the market, see if it's red or green, and say, do I need to hold on? Should I sell? Should I buy low and sell high? How do I do that individually today or in the long term over the next decade of my retirement? Let's portion out money in segments, have a purpose for each segment. That way you take all of these minute decisions out and we just follow the plan that's there and have that plan be flexible.
Absolutely. And you can have your cake and eat it too in retirement. You just need to understand where you go to get that. And that's exactly what we do here at Income for Life every single day all across the country. So buy low and sell high. That's the first one of the uncommon sense topics. Let's jump into the next one here, Nick. And this one is another one that everybody's heard of and everybody, you know, wants to always try to do. It's called don't pay more in taxes than you have to. I think that makes pretty good sense. Nobody voluntarily signs up to pay extra taxes because they feel strongly about the federal government as a beacon of efficiency. So, but many people do pay more than they should or maybe than they have to. So let's jump into that one. You know, don't pay more in taxes than you have to. I think that's pretty common sense.
I think it is, and everybody understands it. This one particularly has been in the news very recently with a report that came out. I'm not exactly sure where it was from that just talked about how these billionaires
with the billionaires
have increased their net worth but are paying less and less actual income tax. So it becomes down to, you know, don't pay more taxes than you have to. The way that we look at that, Matt, is the tax code is laid out. It's
everybody sees it. Everybody knows it.
It's not only our career, but our job. And it's our job as citizens, taxpayers, to utilize that tax code for our advantage. We don't want to pay any more taxes than we need to. They lay the tax code out ahead of time. And it has our ability to research and utilize that to pay the least amount of taxes, get the most amount of tax breaks and tax credits as we can.
And that doesn't matter if you are worth $100 billion or if you're worth $100,000. Nobody wants to pay more in taxes than they have to.
And you shouldn't have to.
You should never have to.
So some people might have more lawyers and CPAs and tax accountants on their staff to help them navigate the very, you know, tough to understand tax code, just like it's tough to understand legal code. But even if you have $100,000 or you make $50,000 a year, understanding how to utilize the tax code to your advantage to pay the least amount of taxes for your tax bracket and your overall investment situation is only right. And you can't really blame the billionaires for not paying income tax. They're not taking income. So their value is going up, their net worth is going up, but they're not taking income, so they're not going to pay much income tax. They're utilizing the tax code to their advantage, and we can do the same no matter where our station in life is. And sometimes you got to reach out and ask a question to an expert to find out how to best maximize that.
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. And with these billionaires that are out there, and we're going to kind of come back to this real quick here, because you and I, Nick, have had this conversation a few times about these super rich, you know, multi-billionaires and how they a lot of people are upset because they pay a lower amount in taxes or whatever it might be. And our answer to that is then change the code.
Yeah.
If that is a concern, I'm not saying it's not. I completely understand that that is a concerning thing. Then change up the rules, change up the laws, because there's a lot of billionaires out there that have always said the same thing. Yeah, I do pay less. I remember Warren Buffett was talking about that several years ago, that he pays less percentage in taxes than his secretary.
Correct.
He goes, well, then change the law. Change the code. Yeah. We are just working within the laws and the code that is existing right now.
Yeah.
So if you're listening right now and you're saying, well, yeah, I want those billionaires to pay their share. I want them to pay more. Okay. Then we just need to change up the rules.
It's done through legislation, through kind of tax shaming to hope that they pay more or hope that something changes.
Right.
It's you got to vote the people in that are going to make the changes that you want and whatever. And when it comes down to it, it's not that easy.
Correct.
It's not that easy to change the tax code to be, well, should Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates pay more taxes? It's easy to say yes. But how do you do that that doesn't affect a lot of people down the line? It's a larger discussion. You got to change it through the legislation process. And until it's changed, or even when it's changed, utilize the tax code to your advantage. Take whatever help and support you can get and take advantage of all of the help to pay the least amount of taxes you can.
Absolutely. So obviously, don't pay more in taxes than you have to is obviously a common concern or a common thing that's sometimes done through uncommon ways. So the next one, Nick, that we're going to jump into, another one, everybody wants to do it, keep costs low. No secret, the lower costs within your investments will make your money grow faster. We talk about it every single time on the show, but people still end up in instruments or vehicles or financial strategies that have high fees.
Yep.
So let's talk about that real quick of keeping costs low, especially in your retirement plan. Why do so many people still end up with high fees?
Well, it's one of those things when anytime you have packaged products, packaged retirement vehicles, packaged investment vehicles, so you have 401ks or IRAs, and then you have mutual funds and exchange traded funds and different investment vehicles that we've talked about on various shows. When they start to make it more convenient for you to be able to switch and invest for yourself, lots of times they've packaged these things up in bundles to make it very convenient for you. But there's a lot of underlying fees, investment fees, administration fees, user fees that you don't even know are there.
That's the part right there. You don't even know that they're there.
It's very easy to understand and ask your local financial advisor, well, how much are you charging me? And they might say something like 1%. You're like, that's not too bad. But depending on what investment vehicles he's using, what investment products he's using, what tax shelters he's using, there could be various fees underneath there that you're not even aware, but are chopping away at your overall return right off the top, and you're not even aware of it. And that could be as high as, you know, 1-3% additional on top of the fees that you're aware of. And on great years, that doesn't seem too bad, but over time, the compounding of that additional 100 basis points or 200 basis points can be significant.
And people don't know. Correct. That's where that concern gets in there, because there was some legislative rule changes several years ago, and maybe not several years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where all of these fees now must be disclosed
in retirement or ERISA plans.
Those hidden fees that you're talking about here, they must be disclosed. So these big groups and these big firms said, okay, we will disclose it, but it will be on page 78 of 84. In little itty bitty font,
yep.
You know, halfway down the page. So it's there, but a lot of people don't even get to that reading of it to realize it is there.
Exactly. And there is trillions upon trillions of dollars in retirement accounts throughout this country. And you just have a tenth of a percent of a portion of those trillions. That's big money for these major investment institutions and administrators and these plans. And the more you understand about those plans, the more you understand about the investment structure of those retirement plans, the more you can understand where you can save money and where you can be strategic and pay for value. So getting a second opinion, getting an analysis of your current investments, of your current retirement plans from a local person can be a great way for you to kind of open up the window on stuff and have some light shine in to say, we're paying a little bit too much in this. What other options do I have?
And there's a lot of times where we have had clients that have called in to us, or people that are listening to the Income for Life show, and they hear something about fees like that. And they say, well, I think I might be paying too much, but yeah, I don't know. What can we do? Well, let's have a conversation. We can, of course, get that company on the phone if you want to on a conference call. We can just flat ask them.
Most of the time we can do an analysis without even doing that.
Not even having to do that. So we have the ability to find out what you're paying, because obviously when you are in retirement, if you have a market loss at the same time these big fees are happening, and if you're taking income out of that at the same time of the market loss and the fees, you can see why people run out of money very, very quickly in that scenario. So obviously here at Income for Life, our goal is to eliminate that. So
you pay for good service, but don't pay too much of stuff that you don't even know is happening.
Absolutely. So of course, keeping those costs down is very important. Let's move on to the next one, Nick. And this one is one that I cannot imagine. There's nobody on the planet that hasn't heard of this one. And this one is, don't put all your eggs into one basket.
Yep.
So most people understand the importance of diversification, but most people still don't do a very good job of having a truly diversified retirement plan. So let's talk about why that could be. Why would someone not be fully diversified, if you would, when it comes to their retirement plan? What do you think on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where everybody understands what that means and how to do it. But sometimes in our investing, especially in the accumulation phase, we maybe have a lot of our investments in the company that we work for. So we can be very concentrated in that. We can have a 401k or investment individual retirement plan where that's growing, but we have the investments very concentrated underneath that, where everything's the same. Everything is investing and flowing on the same structure. So we got to have an understanding of what we want to accomplish. And when we get closer to retirement, the more that diversification actually means and the importance and of what it takes. So that's where, as we talked about in the buy low, sell high type of thing, that's where we start to have to segment and portion out our investments. What is meant for this and what is meant for why? And how do we do that? Why do we do that? And what's the structure of that plan, not only right now, but going forward? So having all your eggs in one basket is a volatility concern.
Absolutely.
Is a concentration concern, but also could be fees and everything else. It starts to happen over time when we don't pay attention to it, and that's fine for a little bit. But as we get closer and closer to retirement, the priority of diversifying that out, not having all your baskets, not having where you're going to be buying bread from locked in the market.
And that's the key right there, because tell me what you think on this thought, Nick, as we were just now going through this. not having all of your eggs in one basket, again, is a pretty common thing that people like to do. But obviously, a lot of people don't do that when they start getting closer to retirement. So as you were explaining that, I was kind of thinking in my head, why would people not? And we call it here on the show the retirement shift. That is when you're shifting from the accumulate in that 401k, for example, over to the pension style distribution. So as you're getting closer to retirement, you've been having maybe 20, 30 years of a one way, right? Yep. Just accumulate. So shifting over, which everybody needs to be doing, is what the government recommends, every financial institution recommends. Everybody understands that you need to take this bucket of money and shift it over to a distribution income plan. But that mental shift is difficult for a lot of people to manage in their own brain. So they kind of stay where they are. They keep everything, the paralysis by analysis mm-hmm. kicks in. And now they just stay put because they're nervous or scared or anxious about that shift, even if they know they need to do it. So they do have a lot of their eggs in one basket for quite a while. And the concern is, as they get closer to retirement and they know, you know, that you have to start building up that lifetime Correct. Income plan, they're not shifting over in a way that that, you know, allows them to be diversified. So
exactly.
Everything here at Income for Life, all we talk about every single day is having the ability to stay retired. Well, how do you stay retired? You don't put all of your eggs in that one big accumulation bucket, because assets can be lost. We talk about it all the time. The market could correct. Those fees that we talked about can eat away. All these things can happen with those assets. So the proper way to retire is making sure you understand how much guaranteed income for life can those assets produce.
Correct.
And that right there of putting all your eggs in one basket, to me, is more of people need to shift to that retirement income plan.
Correct.
And for a portion, it doesn't have to be for everything, not everything they have, but that shifting is diversification.
Correct.
So let's move on to the next one here real quick. And this is the last one.
Yep.
This is our last one of learning through uncommon sense. And this is one that everybody tries to do. Every single person out there is always trying to time the market, but its market timing is virtually impossible. Everyone, when you say that, everyone's shaking their head. Yes. Okay. I understand that it is impossible, but their behavior sometimes doesn't line up.
Yes.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's a couple things. It comes down to, many times this phrase, market timing is impossible. Market timing is impossible for us to execute. So there's a couple things there. One, if a financial advisor is telling you that they can do that and they've had great success, be hesitant.
You better be careful.
Be hesitant. Two, it's one of those things where if you can't time the market, if you don't know what's going to happen, you can't time the market. So the best thing is to have a plan and not get greedy. Follow your plan. Don't just hold on to hold on sake. Follow and execute the plan that you have. One of the phrases in finance is bulls can make money, bears can make money, and pigs get slaughtered.
I love that.
So if you think the market's going to go up, you can make some money. If you think the market's going to go down, you can make some money. But if you get piggish or you get greedy, that's when you get slaughtered. So having a plan out there, not trying to time the market, not needing to time the market to execute that plan, have a diversified plan, especially as you approach and are in retirement. Know what's going to pay the mortgage, the rent, the vacation, the bread, all the groceries. Know where that money's going to come from. Invest the rest appropriately and well diversified, and just execute that plan. Don't get greedy and things will be just fine.
And I understand where everybody, you know, wants to be able to have the idea of going to an expert that can time the market for them, right? Everybody hears it all the time. Well, I would love to be able to go time the market, so I'm going to pay that big fee, or I'm going to, you know, go meet with that person because that person is saying that that they are good at being able to manage this and be able to time it for them. Well, there's no crystal ball. I mean, I tell people all the time when it comes to the markets, and if you have somebody that is saying that, if you are an advisor, I tell people all the time, if your advisor could accurately guarantee that they could time the market 51% of the time, they would not be working for you.
Correct.
They would do it for themselves with their feet in the sand somewhere. So the idea of time in the market, you cannot do that. What you have to do is you have to be able to understand where you are in the time of your life, not in the time of the market. Correct. So if you know, okay, I'm 55, 58, 60 years old, I need to be shifting and diversifying and getting that guaranteed income plan set up, then the timing of the market for the other is not, I don't want to call it irrelevant, but it's a lot easier. It's the pressure is off then.
Correct. And everybody's heard the stories. They've heard friends or people or financial advisors tell stories about how they bought low and sold high, how they called, they knew where the top was and they got out. Or they see the movie 10 years later of how five people knew that the market was going to crash whenever. And they look back, and what you don't really understand is, one, you're only seeing the good stuff. You're not seeing, they're not talking about the other things. And those financial advisors that even called those things probably had 1,000 other bets out there that lost money. They might have made it big there. But when you're in retirement, you can't afford that volatility.
Can't afford to lose that.
You can't afford that. So we got to have a different plan. We can't even think about timing the market. Use the normal appreciation of the market to your advantage over time. But take the other things out. The things that can't weather that volatility that you need to go on vacation and live your lifestyle, have that in a separate bucket, have it well diversified, and just follow your plan. Boring investments in retirement are the key. You don't want to have it the other way because it just won't last.
It won't last. And we tell people all the time, your retirement plan changes the second you leave your retirement party. It's now a whole different game for you. And like you just said, that the boring is the consistent is the key. And obviously, Nick, we talk all the time here about sports and different, you know, things. And football is one that we often talk about. And I tell some clients all the time, I was like, do you understand, you know, the kind of the first and 10 mechanism of football? And they're like, well, yeah, I understand. You know, try to get 10 yards to get a first down. I said, okay, well, what if your team could guarantee that they could only get 2.5 yards per play every time? That would be the most boring game you would ever see, but that team would never lose. That team would score every single time. 2.5 yards, 2.5 yards, 2.5 yards. Everybody would hate it except for that team.
Correct.
So when it
unless their coach just decides to punt.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the retirement planning of the boring, right? They are absolutely designed to be that way because they're consistent. You want them consistent. There's right. a reason why there's minivans out there.
Yep.
That's why.
They
safety
work.
Rated, consistent. They have a exact goal in mind. So when you're looking at retirement planning, the big thing is make sure that you understand the difference between the sports car and the minivan.
Listen closely because there's a new financial tool that you need to know about. It's being described as the CD Buster. Every year, scores of people lock their money up in CDs that pay less than 1%. It's a great way to lose money safely because you can't keep up with inflation, and that spells disaster for a retiree. So the Income for Life team is excited to announce a new multi-year guaranteed annuity that pays up to 3.1% annually and can be purchased online. It's never been easier to get this kind of return on your money, and it can be done from your smartphone or computer in just minutes. This opportunity is insured dollar for dollar, is available in 4-year or 6-year lengths, and you even get 5% free withdrawals if you need to take money out. CDs can't do that. To find out more and to get this guaranteed annuity online right now, just go to incomeforlife.org and click on the banner. Or check out the link in the description of today's show.
All right, Nick, let's jump into the next part of the Income for Life show as we've been talking here on the Income for Life show, again, powered by Folds of Honor. If you like what you're hearing today and you want to get a hold of Nick or I, you can, of course, just give us a call at 888-228-8814 and just request a time to visit with either one of us. Our team has our calendars available, and all you have to do is select a date and time that works best for you, and we'll give you a call and we'll run through our ideas and strategies to help you stay retired. Again, that number is 888-228-8814. And Nick, as we talked earlier in the show, we're going to go through this article that just came out from Axios called The Great Resignation Wave. that is coming to companies right now. And
This is interesting to me because
this is.
I think we all feel it, but this kind of puts it under a specific framework, and that kind of brings some of the things that we talk about all the time to the forefront.
There's so many people out there that, for example, you used to have an office job, and now you've been forced for the past year to work from home due to the COVID pandemic. And now you're kind of liking that. So it's like, maybe I ought to, you know, start doing a little bit more of that. And so there's a lot of people that are resigning. Some are resigning by choice. Some are resigning due to a cutback, whatever the scenario might be. But the resignation right now of so many people and workers out there is pretty staggering. So let's go through a little bit kind of about what's happening out there.
The pandemic was kind of a great reset in a lot of employees' thinking. It allowed them some flexibility, allowed them to be at home. Many of them are deciding that, you know, I want to go work for myself and be entrepreneurial. Some are deciding that I want much more flexibility in my work-life balance. I want to be able to be home and do errands and do some things around. And they're choosing, if their employer, how flexible they're going to be. So it caused a lot of people to not just be on the same treadmill that we've been on for the last 30, 40, 50 years of you go into work 8 to 5, you leave, you have your weekends, you maybe go on vacation, you try to maximize and utilize your vacation time. It opened people's eyes to say, we can do this a little bit different. I have maybe a little bit more power and how I think about what
we
I want.
We can do this. I like it. It's more comfortable.
What I want my career to be, what I want my family to be, how we can do things remotely. If I even want to work for somebody, or I want to be my own boss, or, you know, family work together, whatever it is, it opened a lot of people's eyes. And that's putting a lot of stress, not just on employees making this decision, because it's a big time decision, but employers that are having to deal with maybe a lot of people coming in, one, maybe demanding some more flexible schedule than the employer wants, and or two, just handing in their resignation and having to then find new employees. It costs a lot to find good, well-trained employees and get them up to speed. So this is a big shift. This great resignation is a big shift.
And that's such a neat way of saying it, too.
I like that phrase.
We talked about that, the great resignation.
But when we say that, Matt, in this article, what percentage of workers are even thinking about this
right
now?
Here we go. And what the economists are surveying out there right now is that they're showing that anywhere from 25% to upwards of 40% of workers are thinking about quitting their jobs. So the concern is with the human resource people. Yep. And one associate professor of management out of Texas A&M said, I don't envy the challenge that human resource faces right now. Because with all these people leaving, all these people that they have to rehire, you know, you have to make the right decision to get the new person in there, things like that. That is a difficult task at best.
Correct.
And then whenever you're talking about that, you know, 25 to 40% that are leaving their jobs, those people, as we talk about on the Income for Life show all the time, they need to take that 401k with them.
Correct.
They need to take that retirement plan with them, because even if you are not at that magical age of 59 and a half, where you're able to move that 401k into your own plan, like we often talk about, when you have a qualifying event,
yes,
like leaving a position and you had an old 401k, that opens up all the options of what you can now do with that 401k.
And this is a different framework than normal in this article, what it's talking about. It's not just, well, you know, maybe 25% at any time. In 2005, 25% of employees would maybe take another job. They might toss a resume out there, or if a better opportunity comes about, they'll leave. That's not what this is talking about.
No.
This is a reframing, a rethinking of what they want their whole work-life balance, what they want their life and their career and that interplay to be. So if you're talking 40% of workers are thinking of leaving their job, that is a huge shift mentally. And what they have to do there is, if they're thinking about this that much, the financial decisions that come about, it's not just, what am I going to do to earn money going forward if I want to leave my career? What do I do about all the savings that I've saved at the previous one? What are my options? What should I do? And how can I still set up a good retirement savings plan no matter what I'm doing later? If it's at another employer or on your own, what can I do to maximize my retirement savings and still be on plan for what I want to do, even though you're opening up your choices of independence as an employee?
And it's interesting that you just talked about the mental side of, you know, can I go out and do it on my own, or can I do something different? One of the contributors of this particular study, an economist out of the University of Michigan, said people have had a little more space to ask themselves, is this really what I want to be doing? So some are deciding that they want to, you know, maybe work fewer hours, or maybe with more flexibility to create more time with family or hobbies. And others are considering just switching careers entirely.
Yep.
So one example that they talk about here is a cruise ship staffer trained and pivoted to work in a data center because of the pandemic. And it showed that her and her husband, they both left their jobs to start a landscaping company or whatever the scenario might be, because they want to spend more time outside. All of these different things that are happening that maybe they were thinking about previously, but COVID just made it happen quicker.
Lots of times when you're in your routine, you may have these ideas and you may want to execute them, but you really don't even have the time to pause and think about, well, what would that mean to set up a landscaping company between you and I? It's just, that's on the back burner. But the pandemic
put it on the front.
Put it and opened some eyes, shed some light on some of these things, and it allowed people that pause to really think about it. Do we want to be under artificial lights staring at a computer screen the whole time?
Or I want to be outside?
Do we want to be outside doing some landscaping, seeing the fruits of some labor, seeing a job get done, being able to take a picture of it and have that satisfaction? That sounds really neat. And I think a lot of people are going to be reevaluating this situation. And this article says a ton of people are. And when you're doing it, make the right financial decisions, not just about income, but about savings. Sit down with somebody, understand what you need to do and what options are out there for you.
And we've had a lot of people that called in over this past year and been talking to us here at Income for Life. And they said, I was unemployed from my job. And then I just decided not to go back.
Correct.
Because I started doing this thing, whatever that thing is, right?
Yep.
I started doing this thing and I really like doing that thing. And I realized I can make some pretty good money doing that thing. So I never went back. So now I got this 401k, this 403b, this qualified money that is in this retirement account that I need to do something with.
Yes.
Because I don't want to just leave it there. You know, we have people all the time say, well, yeah, I could leave it there if I want to, but the 3% contribution matching is now gone.
Yep.
Or, you know, maybe it's not invested the same way that it would have been. So a lot of people are saying, yeah, I want to go do my own thing, but I got to get that 401k out of there. And now they can, because that's a qualifying event for them.
Exactly. And this is culturally and socially, I think this is such a neat topic because of the impetus of the pandemic causing this to happen. So over the next 5-10 years, it's going to be super interesting to see how this plays out, what effect it has. Maybe it affects employers and they have to become more open to a more balanced work-life environment, what they're doing with employees. And then it will also be kind of, it'll be interesting to see if some of these people leaving jobs, how that works out and what happens after that. But no matter what your choices are, if you stay with an employer, if you change employers, you go work for yourself, the financial decisions that come along with that don't go away.
Correct.
So just because they're not contributing to your 401k doesn't mean you can't have a contribution plan to your own retirement. So understand what options you have for the things you're leaving, and also the things, the savings plans on a go-forward basis. And lots of times we can help set that stuff up and create that plan.
Well, there's not much firms can do right now to hold on to employees. I mean, and that's always kind of been that way, but right now it's just magnified a little bit more. Yep. But the silver lining of this is if you're listening to this right now and you say, hey, there's a lot of people leaving these positions to go do that other thing, and you want one of those positions that are now open. In this study, they talk about how there's 9.3 million open jobs in America right now. So this churning of maybe people leaving that workforce to go do their own thing, it could be a good thing for other workers, other employers, to be able to get some people in and be able to have these jobs filled.
Yes.
So if you are sitting there and saying, well, you know what, that sounds great, but I'm not at that place. I want to get one of those jobs that are now open. You could go grab one of those if you want to.
Get your resume out there, because
there's
thousands of hundreds of thousands and millions of people that are going to be doing the exact same thing. So take advantage of the shift. Take advantage of this cultural shift. do what you want to do, have the financial plan that backs it, and have somebody to help you execute that financial plan.
You've got mail.
Now, Nick, let's jump into the IFL mailbag as we do on every one of our shows here at Income for Life, where we answer a question that came in from one of our clients or listeners from all across the country. And what we try to do with the IFL mailbags, we try to grab a question that that either makes sense with the show that we were discussing at the time, or it is something that a lot of people have maybe asked the same thing.
Correct.
And I tell you what, Michael in Cleveland came up with a question for us that literally ties into what we just got done talking about the great resignation. So let's jump into this question. But before we do, Nick, let's just remind everybody that if you are listening and you have a question that you want to submit to us that we can answer for you, we will always answer directly back to you with those questions. But if it's one that we feel like a lot of people need to know, we will gladly talk about it on the show.
Yep.
So if you are listening and you do have a question, just simply email that question to info@incomeforlife.org. Again, that is info@incomeforlife.org. And we'll gladly answer that question directly to you or on the Income for Life show. And again, Michael in Cleveland, thank you very much for listening to the Income for Life show. And here's his question. And Mike asks, he says, I have several old 401ks from companies that I used to work for, and I'm getting tired of keeping up with all of these statements. Can I just combine them into one account? Or maybe the question is, should I combine them? Mike, great question. And that literally ties into a lot of what we were just talking on today's show. So let's talk about Mike's question here in Cleveland.
This is more and more common as people are changing jobs and shifting.
We hear it all the time.
Will become even more common with the conversation that we just happened with this great resignation possibly happening. But yeah, many people have legacy or old 401ks that are sitting at previous employers and being able to consolidate or at least move them. So yes, one, you can definitely combine them into one 401k if you're still working and that employer has a plan for you to consolidate them together. You can definitely do that. You can also move them into individual retirement accounts and consolidate the old ones into that. And it really comes down to what options do you have available to you and what kind of investment structure do you need to have, you know, and what age you are as well. Do we really need to consolidate those things in a 401k so we can get the most appreciation on them, get some contributions from an employer, and start that compounding a little bit? Or do we need to start to utilize and roll them into individual retirement plans and diversify some of that investing out, have different plans doing different things, accomplishing different tasks, not having all of our eggs in one basket, as we talked about early in the show, and then figuring out how that investment plan kind of works its way out. So there's a bunch that you can do with that, but not having them all separate, still at the former employer, possibly having higher than normal fees, maybe not earning as much or not as focused investment structure as you possibly can, is a great thing. And figuring out what best to do comes down to an individual structure.
And Mike, if you're listening right now, which hopefully you are, give us a call so we can talk about this, because these factors will come into play, like how old are you right now? And that 401k maybe that you have at your new employer, do they allow you to roll those old ones into that plan? Not all do.
And what investment options do they have there to make sure that even if you do roll it, is there good investment
options? Is there good options?
Is there low-cost investment options? How much is your employer contributing? A bunch of different aspects come into what do you currently have now?
Yeah.
And then it allows
And what do you want to do?
And it allows us to open up some other avenues of what other goals and objectives do we have? How close to retirement are we? And what other things do we need to think about over the next 5 to 10 years to where let's execute some things? At minimum, let's not leave these things hanging out there.
Don't leave them just hanging there.
Let's
You're exactly right.
Put them as part of an investment and retirement plan and have them start working for you.
And Mike's question is not unusual, because 20 or 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you could start working at a place, work there 40 years, and be able to retire.
You may only have one statement from one and it might be a pension plan and a little bit of a retirement account, and that's it.
Now the length of stay at a job is 5 to 7 years.
and they start to change administrators of these retirement plans. Statements are coming from different areas. You kind of lose passwords to get into it or contacts at HR departments.
Companies change. Maybe you didn't even leave the job. But the financial group went from one company to another that is the third-party administrator of that.
Exactly.
So then you got to start all over with that new group.
And you're having to learn the new things and understand what it is. So having these things just scattered out there is not the best way to do it. We may consolidate them, but we at least want to put them as a cog in your wheel, in your retirement plan and your investment plan. So let's have them be a part of the larger thing, not just hanging out there, maybe appreciating, maybe depreciating, but you don't know what they're doing. You're not changing anything. It's not part of the plan of attack.
More than likely, it's there's a good chance it's not doing anything. It's
could
just
be in cash.
Stagnant.
You could know? Be in cash yeah. sitting there.
Could just be sitting there. So, Mike, thank you very much for submitting that question. Again, Mike in Cleveland, I think that's a fantastic question that you had here, and we're glad that that you're able to represent the Cleveland, Ohio's out there. So thank you very much, Mike, for finding us on incomeforlife.org. And as we wrap up today's show, Nick, we always like to try to talk a little bit about what's going on out there in the entertainment world and the sports world and in some things that are a little bit off topic a little bit. And of course, we got the OTAs going with the NFL players and got some football that's starting to come back into the world. We got obviously a lot of golf that's going on. We got a big tournament this week here.
U.S. Open, sir.
We got the U.S. Yep. Open is
at
coming.
At Torrey Pines.
That's going to be fantastic to watch. But I think it's important that since the question from Michael came from Cleveland, you know, we got to give a little bit of a shout out to the Cleveland Browns. You know, I heard you got a pretty good team. You're feeling pretty good about yourselves moving into this year.
They're on the come up. Yeah,
they are. They are. They got a super good team. And here with our world champion Kansas City Chiefs, I think they may have their hands full with Cleveland because Cleveland's coming to town week one. So we have Cleveland week one. So Mike, if you're listening there, hey, we'll be right there with you come late in August, September, whenever the football season gets going. So again, as we are wrapping up today's show, we want to thank everybody for listening to the Income for Life show. Again, powered by our friends and family at Folds of Honor. We love the fact that that Folds of Honor is a partner with Income for Life and the Income for Life show because we love what they do for the families of wounded and fallen soldiers. So the group of Folds of Honor, thank you very much for your support. Again, our phone number, if you like what you hear and you want to talk to us a little bit more about your situation, give us a call at 888-228-8814. And Nick and I will do our best to give you some ideas and thoughts and strategies on how we could help you stay retired. And until next time, bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Income for Life show. If you have any questions about something we talked about today or want to get in touch with the Income for Life team, give us a call to 888-228-8814. That's 888-228-8814. You can also go online to incomeforlife.org and check the description of today's show for any relevant resources and contact information. You can also find the podcast on all major podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more locations. The Income for Life show is powered by Folds of Honor, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to providing educational scholarships to the families of America's fallen and disabled service members. For more information, visit foldsofhonor.org. Information provided on today's show is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information is obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action.